Well, that's the question, isn't it? Is it going to be political or is it going to be market? I think that's the question of the 21st century.
And let's talk about that. In your opinion, is, well, let's talk first, Jeff, about the about which vision we're going to accept. You say that the first vision is political. We'll call it fiat medicine. Talk about that, will you?
Well, that's what we've had increasingly in the late 20th and early 21st century now, is that greater and greater government control over medicine, licensing of doctors and nurses and practitioners, and regulation of pharmaceuticals, and payment by government entities like the aforementioned Medicaid or Medicare or VA. And then when payment is private or ostensibly private, it's through an insurance premium, which you're A, required to have by law, or were previously required to have by law under Obamacare, and B, the parameters that of that insurance, what it has to cover, and, you know, are all set by government. So we don't really have a free market system in the United States at all, save for a few, what I consider heroic doctors who have just gone out into cash-only, what we call concierge medicine. And you know, so that's the non-political choice, is that having paying cash for basic services, having catastrophic insurance only for catastrophes, and letting the market discipline, you know, bring down the costs of things like MRIs, things like dialysis, surgeries, all kinds of things. So, you know, that's really the choice that we have in front of us. And what I fear is that we'll try to do it halfway. We'll try to have a little bit of both. And so what's going to happen now, I guarantee, is that we will have at least a two-tier medical system. Rich people are not going to sit around and wait. If you're Barbara Streisand,
right?
You know, you're not going to sit there and wait three months for a referral to a dermatologist or something. It's just, you know, every country on earth, from North Korea today to the former Soviet Union to Cuba in its worst points to, you know, Sweden and the UK and Canada with their socialized systems to the United States today. Every country on earth has a separate tier of medicine for the very wealthiest and most elite citizens. So there's no matter what they do, that will exist. The question is whether the rest of us normal folks, will be able to benefit from some of the cash and market discipline, or whether we won't.
Well, here's a wild opinion that a lot of people may get angry at me at. Now, you call market medicine your second vision regarding the future of medicine in the United States. I would have to say that the progressives are going to use this. It makes all the sense in the world to me, but the progressives are going to use this particular philosophy to further divide the country, in my opinion, Jeff. Any comments?
Well, I think that's true. There's a huge amount of support in this country, let's not kid ourselves, for so-called single-payer health care, which basically means government-provided.
Right.
And that's going to be a political football, I think, increasingly, as the Democrats and even a lot of Republicans are pushed leftward. There's going to be support for that. And there's basically two ways to do that. You can do that like the U.K., where you literally have government doctors, a government healthcare system, government pharmaceuticals, and you go to a government clinic. You know, it's like the DMV.
Yeah.
Or you could have the French system, where you have ostensibly private doctors, but they're paid by the government, so the government sets the price. So there's some different ways to go about doing it. But look, I think that's going to be popular. I think you're going to, you know, there'll probably be individual states. If it can't get done at the federal level, there will probably be deep blue states like California and Massachusetts that will try their own. More power to them. I don't think it's going to work. I think it will suffer from all the free rider problems, for all the lack of incentives. But, hey, you know, our conference last week was not really about that. It was about exploring what we can do right here, right now, on the margins, you know, operating with you know, market approaches, with innovation, and, you know, working our way around insurance, working our way around regulations, working our way around government medicine, because there's a huge market. There's a huge market for it. And, you know, people will tap that market if we let them, if we don't crowd them out with too much state control.
Yeah, I want to make one comment. The progressives, in my opinion, and I am pretty politically informed, but the progressives have taken the argument that you're giving in another direction. They basically have talked about, you know, the poor downtrodden, the poor African Americans, et cetera, et cetera. I have seen such a change in American society in the last couple of years, ever since the election process started for the last election when Biden supposedly was elected. I have to tell you, I really wonder if the conservatives can compete effectively against the argument that is going to be put forth by the progressives. And I'll tell you, you made a lot of guarantees in this discussion, Jeff. I guarantee you that the progressives are going to say that we are evil people because we're even considering what Jeff Dice is talking about right now. You have any comments on that?
Well, I agree. Part of the progressive worldview is that healthcare, or what I shouldn't use that term, medicine. Let's call it medicine.
Yeah.
That medicine is different. It's different from any other good or service that can be provided by the marketplace. And first, because it's, you know, we have a right to it, that there's a positive right to medicine. And of course, that's nonsense. You don't have a positive right to force other people to pay for you or to treat you or to go to medical school so that you can have, you know, a heart operation. You know, Nobody has a right to a claim on other people. So, but the left fervently believes in a right to health care. And they also believe that health care is so unique that it can't be provided by the market. You can't just have supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere there's going to be a little kid who gets cancer and the treatment's going to be way more costly than his parents could ever bear. And
of course,
we have all kinds of market reactions to that, like St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I think the left is not going to accept this. So I think we have to work around them.
And they're going to call us evil people for even bringing it up. Jeff, you have a rather extensive list of what you think is going to happen in the medical industry. You don't have time, and you may not even remember the entire list. It's somewhere around 20 different changes that you see happening. Describe the highlights of those changes, would you, Jeff?
Well, and these aren't predictions. These things are happening.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is they're going to accelerate and increase. Right now, we have lots of doctors who have switched to cash only. Let's say you and your family currently pay, I think my insurance premium is something like $1,500 a month for a PPO with me and my wife and two kids. So that's what is that, Al? $18,000 a year.
That's about what ours was, Jeff. Yeah, that's about what ours was. Yeah, okay, yeah. When we were your age. Go ahead.
So if you take that away, and if you were allowed to, Obamacare forbade this, but if you were allowed to just buy a really inexpensive high deductible policy for catastrophic only, you know, maybe a $25,000 deductible, and then you could use the remainder of that $18,000 to go out and you pay maybe $5,000 a year to a concierge doctor in your town, and in exchange for that $5,000 fixed cost, and yeah, you get same day visits, you get his cell phone number, you get home visits, you get immediately, you know, he'll call in prescriptions, all kinds of things. This sort of thing is growing, and this is concierge medicine has been used by the rich for years. There's cash clinics like Dr. Keith Smith's, which I mentioned, where people are having knee and shoulder and all kinds of surgeries for a menu of fixed prices, you know, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000. But I'm really excited about telemedicine because it turns out, and doctors will admit this, an awful lot of diagnosis and doctor visits can be handled over Zoom, just like we found out during COVID.
Sure.
So spending half your day schlepping across town waiting in some waiting room, I hope will become a thing in the past. So, there's a whole lot going on, and people are doing it because they have to, because costs are so out of control.
You know, you guys, I want you to do me a favor. Do yourselves a favor. Hell, don't do me any kind of favors, even though I need them at this point. I want you to take a look and go to the Mises Institute website. This issue has been discussed not only by Jeff, but also by some of his colleagues for quite some time now. The Mises Institute is, I have to say, populated by a group of very, very forward-thinking individuals. Check it out. Mr. Deist, always a pleasure. Thank you.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.